And you have to understand Alexis's situation. What he encountered along the way was the same devastation and the same problem of information the Crusaders did. To be sure, the Seljuk Turks had been defeated, but they were by no means gone. And then Alexis got very mixed reports of what was going on. First, Tatticus showed up, duped into deserting. He wasn't quite sure what was going on in the councils of the princes. Then Stephen of Blois, the most reluctant of crusaders, who hightailed it out of Antioch before the great victories were won, to the embarrassment of his wife later on, he reports that the crusade must have been destroyed. And when this information comes to Alexis, he has secured certain key frontier regions, and he has to make a very tough choice. Do I march along that highway on the high plateau of Anatolia in the summer, risking battles with Turks, to relieve an expedition that may well have been doomed? And so what he did is he decided not to push on. Later on, Hugh of Vermandois was sent back west to report the spectacular victories in Antioch, and no doubt Alexis regretted a great deal his decision. That hesitation on Alexis's part was always held as Alexis's failure to adhere to the oaths. And what, in effect, Bohemond claimed was not that he was violating the oaths, but he was proclaiming a diffidatio, that is, a declaration of no longer holding faith to the his lord, because the lord had failed him, not the vassal had failed the lord. This forever after complicated affairs between the Norman Principality of Antioch and Byzantium. And Alexis was determined to reckon with that Norman city, city-state or that principality one way or another. He was assisted by the fact, Alexis was assisted by the fact that Bohemond got himself captured by Ghazi Malek, who was the Dashmened emir of northern Asia Minor and held for ransom. Bohemond later escaped to Europe. He was ransomed, got to Italy, raised this army, tried to attack Greece with insufficient forces, and was forced into a treaty that recognized imperial hegemony. This is the so-called Treaty of Deval in 1108 I spoke of earlier. This was not a satisfactory solution for Alexis, nor for his son, John, who came to the throne some 10 years later. First, Tancred never obeyed the treaty, and the only way for it to be enforced would mean an imperial presence in Syria, and that was an expensive and rather difficult proposition. You have to look at it from the Byzantine viewpoint. In the whole of the early 12th century, those crusader states were potentially disruptive. We shall see repeatedly, especially in Antioch, that they were havens for Byzantine exiles. One of the most notorious is a fellow called Andronicus Comnenus, who's a really delightfully unprincipled rogue. They were also a beacon or an example to dissidents within the Byzantine state itself. If Western European princes or mercenaries could carve out their own principalities in former imperial lands, well, why not Byzantine governors? And while the Comnenian emperors achieved a really considerable and laudable military political recovery, reoccupying large areas of Asia Minor that had been under Turkish rule for almost 20 years, that occupation was really quite provisional. The Turks still controlled the plateau. They raided frequently into imperial territory. And to some extent, that imperial recovery was really premised on turning over power to local figures who would secure the frontiers. The best example is in Trebizond on the northeastern shore, where a powerful family, the Gabres, controlled the region and essentially was an independent set of operators who, when they felt, would obey directives from Alexis or John or Manuel. So when Alexis died in 1118, the situation vis-a-vis the Crusader states was really quite unresolved. And John and Manuel both saw Frankish Antioch as a threat. They also were determined to get back Edessa. They saw both of these cities as potentially in league with the Norman kings of Sicily, who was and the Norman king of Sicily was clearly their most dangerous opponent in the Mediterranean. There was other concerns that was clearly borne out in the Crusade of 1101, that the very existence of Latin Crusader states were premised on the fact there would be more Crusades, perhaps not on the scale of the First Crusade or the Crusade of 1101, but that there would be a continual stream of Western Europeans to reinforce these positions to gain fiefs, and this was potentially disruptive to the Byzantine Empire. And think of what these crusades cost the Byzantine Empire.